Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God the Father and from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God, which we will consider this evening, is our reading for this particular Lenten service. Again, it's recorded in St. Paul's letter to Titus in the third chapter, reading there verses 3 through 7. In Jesus' name, dear fellow redeemed, the Lenten season that we are currently observing serves to remind us of a very important and wonderful occurrence. And that is, namely, that we have been saved from the guilt and the punishment of our sins. Jesus' death, which won that gift of salvation for us, was a very powerful act. For by it, he paid for the sins of the whole world. And he won forgiveness for the sins of every last person. What we could never have done for ourselves has been done perfectly for us. And here in words which bring us back to the Christmas season and to the celebration of Jesus' birth, we hear from Titus, Paul's letter to him, but when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward mankind appeared, he saved us. The appearance, the coming of our Savior was something lowly and unobserved by most people, since Jesus was born into poverty and obscurity in little Bethlehem. So also his act of saving us from our sins had the appearance of something weak and lowly, as he was subjected to a shameful criminal's execution on a cross. But his work of saving us that way was actually something very powerful. After all, as true man and true God in one person, the shedding of his blood and his death on the cross accomplished what would be impossible from our standpoint. Again, the apostle describes us and our condition. For at one time we ourselves were also foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved by many kinds of evil desires and pleasures, living in malice and jealousy, being hated and hating one another. Recognizing ourselves and our own lives in that list, we're reminded and we realize just how much we need this gift of salvation that Jesus won for us, because our disobedience against God called for divine punishment. God is holy and just, and he demands that holiness from us who've been created by him. So we could only dread our awareness that he would be only just and fair were he to condemn us. We needed Jesus to be born and to live, to suffer, to die as the sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice for all of our sins. And that's exactly what has occurred. So we read, he saved us, not by righteous things that we did ourselves, but because of his mercy. If you and I could have been saved by our own goodness, our own striving, our own righteous acts, then there would have been no reason for the coming and the death of our Savior. But we could not save ourselves, and so God had to send Jesus. Driven by mercy, he freely, lovingly gave his best gift to us, because without Jesus, we would be forever lost. So great is the love of God the Father that he sent his own son here to endure poverty, misunderstanding, rejection, scorn, false accusations, beatings, whippings, finally death on a cross for us and for our eternal well-being. Fully aware of all that he would face, so great is the love of Jesus for us that he would leave behind the glory of paradise to enter into our world of sin and sorrow. He would come as true man and assumed the entire awful weight of our sin and guilt. He would come here fully realizing the terrible cup of anguish he would have to drink dry on our behalf. So writing to the Romans, the Apostle Paul marvels at such love. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The theme, as we've been reminded this evening, is two powerful gifts from God. The first gift we're thinking about tonight is this gift of Jesus, born for us of the Virgin Mother in Bethlehem, born to live for us and to die for us. The second gift, another powerful gift, is connected to the first one. The second gift actually brings to us the full benefit and the full blessing of the first gift. So Paul goes on in our text. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Here the Apostle Paul is talking about the sacrament of baptism. In baptism, God delivers to each one of us personally and individually what he offers and what he gives to the whole world, namely his saving grace. In looking at the general theme for our Wednesday Lenten services this year, which is baptized into his death, we're focusing now on this connection between Christ's saving passion and dying, and then this great gift that he gives us and which we've received in holy baptism. Remembering our baptism, we can rejoice that we've been baptized into Jesus' name, baptized into his death. And by that, we were washed and cleansed in what Paul calls the gracious washing and water of life. It is called that because baptism brings to us and confers on us the forgiveness of all of our sins, the forgiveness that Jesus earned. And where there is forgiveness of sins, we learned from the Catechism, there is also life and salvation. In his middle of the night visit with Nicodemus, recorded in John chapter 3, Jesus said, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Here Jesus means that we, being born in sin, inherited from our parents, need to be born all over again. What a joy and a comfort to know that in our baptism that occurred, we have received just that, what the apostle here calls the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. In the water of baptism, the Holy Spirit has cleansed us from our sins. He gave us a new birth in Christ so that you and I can speak of ourselves truly as being born again. Having this new birth by faith in Jesus, the apostle writes that in baptism we were justified by grace. Being baptized into our Savior, we were baptized into his sinless life and into his innocent death. And thereby we've been delivered from the guilt and the punishment our sins called for, and we're rather now fitted in the innocence and the righteousness that we didn't have, the very righteousness of Christ himself. That's what the apostle assures us of when he writes to the Romans, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" And so our text this evening concludes with this encouragement. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs in keeping with the hope of eternal life. In baptism, we were justified, that is declared not guilty of all of our sins for Jesus' sake. And in this we were also then adopted by God to be his own redeemed sons and daughters. And if we are God's own children, through that adoption in baptism, then we do rightly stand to inherit what belongs to our Father. And that is life which continues on even after our physical bodies have died and been buried. Life, eternal life, life with no end in heaven with him. So now during this season of Lent, as we once again retrace our Redeemer's path to the cross and to death, we thank him that in doing so, he has paid for our sins and won our salvation. And we thank him for bringing that gift of salvation right to us in the sacrament of baptism, which we've received and which we want others also to receive. And after all, that's what Jesus wants as well. He told his disciples, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and do not forbid it, for of such belongs the kingdom of God." And he directed his believers, his church on earth, "Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations." And how is that done? He said, "Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things whatever I have commanded." And he's given this promise, "Whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved." With the birth of our Lord Jesus in Bethlehem, the kindness and love of God for the whole human race appeared. And then with the gift of baptism, that grace which has saved us was given to us as our own personal gift. In it we received fully, entirely, all the blessings which God intended for us when he sent Jesus into our world. Can you remember every gift you received this past Christmas, now about 2.5 months ago? I can't remember them. Maybe that's true for you too, but may we never forget these two very powerful gifts that come to us from God himself: the gift of his Son to be our Savior, and the gift of baptism, where the Savior and his forgiveness became your own. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forevermore. Amen.